May the words of my mouth
and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it becomes the greatest of shrubs. A shrub. Not a towering redwood, not a spreading chestnut, nor a big oak tree, not even a nice fruit tree, just a shrub. I love what the Reverend Kyle Childress reflects on this parable. He says, at least the prophet Ezekiel thought the kingdom of God would be a cedar tree, about as big of a tree as existed in the ancient Middle East. But a shrub? I cannot help but ask, what's going on here, Jesus? I don't know about you, but I tend to think of God's kingdom a bit more triumphantly than a mustard bush. Surely the kingdom of God has more substance to it than comparing it to shrubs and bushes and the smallest of all seeds. Mustard bushes are small and squatty. Furthermore, they don't put forth the large branches so that the birds of the air might make nests in their shade, like Jesus said. I have no doubt that Jesus knew what he was talking about, and so did his listeners. They likely knew that he was parodying the imagery of Ezekiel, who said, "Under the cedar, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind." From what I've read, apparently, mustard bushes were not only small, growing low to the ground, but also highly invasive, persistent, and very hard to get rid of. Author Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove likes to say, mustard bushes are sort of like the South's ubiquitous kudzu. It grows everywhere and takes over everything. Nothing like some humor from Jesus to remind us what God's way looks like and how it might act. One of our first questions upon reading today's gospel lesson might be, why does Jesus use parables to try to describe the kingdom of heaven? Well, quite frankly, the kingdom of heaven is hard to describe. It's not something for literalists. At most, what Jesus can offer us is a glimpse or a glimmer of what the kingdom of heaven might look like. And the glimpse that we catch of the kingdom might not be the one that we expect to see. If it were up to us, we might try to describe the kingdom of heaven as so vast, so enormous, it defies description. Jesus, however, challenges the popular notion that bigger is always better. He shows a consistent preference for small, unassuming things. Let the children come to me. You are the salt of the earth. God notes the fall of every sparrow. Therefore, it's not too surprising that Jesus chooses the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, and a pinch of yeast to illustrate that God brings about big things from small beginnings. And this is a pattern with which Jesus is all too well acquainted. For it is revealed in the very life of the one telling these parables. A child is born in a stable, in a forgotten corner of a big world. He becomes our access to the larger realities of life, including the largest reality of all, the one we call God. An itinerant preacher on a hillside, speaking few and small things, gives a new direction to history. Jesus told this parable to a small and motley crew of disciples, a group not much more than a mustard seed in size and influence. He told these parables as words of encouragement, for the disciples could not have imagined how the good news was going to spread over the entire earth. This pattern of God bringing about big things from small beginnings arises elsewhere in the Bible as well. In the Old Testament lesson for today, God visits Solomon in a dream, calling him forth as the next leader of Israel. Solomon is but a mere child. God says to Solomon, "Ask what I should give you," demonstrating wisdom well beyond his young years. Solomon asks for an understanding mind to govern and an ability to discern between good and evil. Even though Solomon could easily be disregarded as a little squirt, God knows Solomon has wisdom beyond those who are 3, 4, 5 times his age. God brings about big things from small beginnings. So the question arises, why does God prefer small things? Well, I'm going to offer one possible reason this morning. I think that one reason might be is that it helps us not to be intimidated by what we are called to share in. It affirms that we all have a part of it. We all have a piece of the action. If the kingdom of heaven started out as something larger than a mustard seed or a teaspoon of yeast, we might become too overwhelmed or intimidated by the enormity of the reality. We might not even get started. God dares us to aim small when God invites us to share in this enormous reality. Desmond Tutu, the South African social rights activist, former archbishop, and head of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, was asked what was a formative experience of his life. He said, "One incident comes to mind immediately. When I was a young boy, I saw a white man tip his hat to a black woman. Please understand that such a gesture was completely unheard of in my country at that time. The white man was an Episcopal bishop, and the woman was my mother. Most of us lack the boldness to trust something so small as a mustard seed, a teaspoon of yeast, or a tip of a hat as a way to help bring about God's kingdom. We think, surely it takes a lot more than we have to offer to make big things grow. We need more money, more education, more time, more faith to really make a difference, to make a positive, lasting impact on this world. We use our limitations as excuses that hinder us from taking a part, from partaking in the reality that we are called by God to share in. But where we see limitations or hindrances, God sees potential. We turn our pockets inside out and say, see, nothing here. To which God replies, look again. There in the fold of your pocket, nestled in the dust, is a mustard seed. Plant that. I will supply the rest. God dares us to aim small. This is something that our grants committee at the Memorial Church knows all too well. If you're not familiar with the Grants Committee, it is the Memorial Church's outreach ministry. The budget of the committee comes from the very generous donations that are collected on Sunday mornings. The committee, made up of church parishioners, Harvard students, faculty, and staff, come together to read applications from nonprofit organizations that serve communities of the greater Boston area. The committee then decides which projects and programs it would like to support. Typically, the committee gives grants to organizations for specific projects, the idea being to provide support that is of vital need, to provide tangible, life-altering help to those organizations. A few years ago, the Grants Committee received an application from an organization requesting funding to build an awning above the porch of one of their group houses. Upon reading the application, committee members questioned why the organization was requesting funding for an awning. This appeared to be more of a request to cover operating expenses rather than a transformative project. A unique part of the Grants Committee protocol is a member from the committee follows up with each application that is received. So, after the meeting, a committee member called the organization to learn more. Come to find out, the group house was a home for single mothers in the advanced stages of AIDS and their children. The mission of the home was to provide a safe and caring environment for the mothers to live in with their children as their health deteriorated. Many of the women in the home were prescribed medications that made them susceptible to light. The awning was to provide these dying mothers with the chance to watch their children play in the front yard. At what first appeared to be a minor building addition, turned out to be an opportunity to let these mothers be with their children and to build meaningful memories during the remaining months, days, hours of their lives. The kingdom of heaven starts out from small, unassuming beginnings. When God's kingdom starts out as small as a mustard seed, it can be overlooked or dismissed. But God does not ask more of us than we have. And sometimes what we have is not more than the size of a mustard seed. We aim small. It can be very easy to misinterpret these parables. We can turn them into standards for human achievement. But Jesus is not saying that we can do some big things if we trust in ourselves or improve ourselves or dare to be bold. And Jesus is not even saying that we can bring about the kingdom of heaven if we but rely upon God's help. It is not that we can do big things or do big things with God's help. It's that God can do big things if we dare to aim small. Please pray with me. God of enormous realities and small beginnings, embolden our faith. Give us the audacity to aim small, to plant a seed, offer a teaspoon of yeast, tip a hat, build an awning, with the trust that the growth of the kingdom is yours. Amen.